And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rexroad, how are you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing okay. Doing just fine. Nothing to report.
That's good. Michelle, what's going on? How are you?
Living the dream, as always, right, guys? Missing you in the studio Michelle? Today, but it's okay.
We did just kind of abandon you today.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll make my own fun here.
How's the studio doing?
You know, I am holding down the fort. I'm in a good mood this morning because Kentucky won, Auburn lost. Also, can I just say, I just rewatched the end of that Arkansas-Auburn game when the Arkansas player just hits the dunk at the perfect time when the clock goes out and then the court storms and the light goes off and then the fireworks go off. I can't believe it wasn't on top 10. I was really sad, actually, watching it this morning.
And how about Musselman just ripping off the shirt and just, you know, like running around the court shirtless but with a sling on, you know? I
mean, incredible.
You don't see that every day. Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Really? He's bringing the passion, as Crispy would say. Bringing the passion.
There you go. By the way, if we're talking hoops real quick, Vanderbilt beats Missouri last night. You know, Vanderbilt's had three games, actually just two games with its whole roster, you know, because Liam Robbins missed the win over LSU. This could be a pretty good team. I'm going to put an intrigued alert for Saturday. Intrigued. I'm not saying upset alert, but I'm saying Vanderbilt at Tennessee Saturday. Might be interesting.
I hope so. Hope it is interesting. We're all about interesting here on the program.
Big rivalry, right, Rob? Big rivalry.
That's what you want to call it. Sure.
Oh, man.
Certainly was back in the day when Shane Foster was playing. I don't think there's any question about that.
I think we need a few days of trash talk leading up to this game.
Well, we could probably get it. I'm all about trash talk here on
the
program.
Guy. We're looking to you for this.
Tennessee Rob and Vandy Joe.
Yeah. This is like the meeting of the minds of the two fan bases that get after Rex Road the most. GB Joe, Vandy Joe. Which one comes out on Saturday? It's going to be interesting to see.
I think Michigan fans still may hate me more, but yeah, it's close.
Joe Rex Road, some news from the Titans yesterday that I don't think is particularly surprising, but was met with some interesting reaction yesterday. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel both have reached deals with the Titans for contract extensions. I haven't really seen anything on how many years are attached to the contract extensions here, but contract extensions nonetheless. I don't think a huge surprise on that front. AB Adam Strunk with a quote on the Titans website says, quote, "I'm proud to say that John and Mike will be leading our football team for years to come. I've seen the team improve on a yearly basis under their direction, and I know their singular goal is to deliver a championship for our fans. Together, they have developed a culture within our organization that has been essential to our success. Their values align with mine and what I want the Titans to be. They demand excellence from themselves and others, work well together, and are always striving to improve, and they care deeply for our players and staff." That's the quote from AB Adam Strunk. Your reaction to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel being given contract extensions by the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. You know, the NFL is obviously, it's so interesting. This stuff like this is so important in college football, right? Because it's like, if you don't have, you know, if you're playing, even if you're playing on like 2 years left in your deal, what are you going to tell recruits about that? You know, you can't have that. You got to have, you know, you got to have a rolling 5-year situation going on here. So you always have, you know, you can always tell recruits, you know, there's nothing to worry about. I mean, in the NFL, it's not that. To me, it's just like it happened to be that their deals were up. And of course, that you're going to extend them. You know, the information I'd love to have, and really it's never been dug out of there, is, you know, like Vrabel's salary and how much of a raise he may have gotten. I mean, I'd say both of them, but I mean, especially Vrabel, if you're talking about coming in as a you know, as a first-time head coach 4 years ago, at that point, that's a little bit of a leap of faith, and it's also a justification to be cheap, you know, or, you know, to be on the lower end of the pay scale of NFL head coaches. Not that there aren't a lot of other, you know, new and first-time coaches, but now I would think that Vrabel would be compensated in a much higher bracket in this league. I'm not talking Belichick money here, okay? But I'd say, you know, top quarter, and that's to me would be fair compensation. But yeah, as far as extending him, yeah, of course. I mean, to me, it's I know right now everybody's upset about the way things just went, understandably so. But the big picture is pretty good looking for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago in terms of, I mean, the Vrabel contract extension we knew was coming. We talked about, you know, should the Titans extend John Robinson at the same time? I think both you and I were pretty quick agreement of, yeah, they should. This is a no-brainer for me when it comes to the Titans. Now, I will say, I don't know that I've really seen anybody, whether that's in terms of, you know, listening to Jared and Caroline's show yesterday reacting, or you know, the social media reaction that we base a lot of things on. I don't know that I've seen really all that many people say anything about Vrabel. There were some upset Titans fans about J-Rob getting a contract extension yesterday. Not many, but there were some that I saw that were upset about J-Rob getting a contract extension, saying, well, make him prove it in the draft. His drafts the last few years have been terrible, and Tannehill's on this deal now. All these things, why would you give him a contract extension? I think it's pretty simple. J-Rob has largely done a really good job here, so I don't really understand that side of it. Yes, he's got to be better in the draft. Yes, I understand the quarterback and his deal right now is a big point of emphasis. John Robinson is a pretty good general manager, so I expected a little bit of that. I saw a little bit of it, but I still think the majority of Titans fans are pretty clear-headed in terms of why this needed to be done. I would hope anyway.
Yeah, I don't really get that. I mean, I'm trying to think of like an analogy for that. It's like, you know, it's like you wrote War and Peace, but, you know, those three typos on page 843, and I know it's not that trivial in the big picture. It could be costly to them. So down the road, if this is a losing football team for years in a row because of moves that were made or weren't made, then that's a different conversation. But again, the window exists because of what he did to build the team. Like that's the whole team is he put it together. So you want to do better in the postseason, but you also just won 11 and then 12 games and won your division 2 years in a row. And there's a consistency too. And I mean, there's something really to be said for that. And we'll see how long, you know, that can last. I still think that there's a cycle to this league that very, very few franchises have figured out how to, you know, over stretches, you know, how to avoid or how to kind of trick the system. I mean, I think the Bills come and do for the Titans, but that's, you know, there is, I mean, I do believe in the culture. And, yes, you know, the winning expectation and there's a certain consistency there that you have to like if you're a Titans fan. I mean, again, we'll see where things go, but right now, you look at the entire tenure and, it's been not only some consistency and not having losing seasons, but then, you know, lately better than that, which is why you get into go for it mode. And that has not gone as well as hoped. But
it is not.
I mean, not going as well as hoped for that in the context of everything else. I mean, it's no, that's, you should be happy with your GM, I would say.
Well, and I think if you're a Titans fan that's been around for a while, I think there's value in, you know, a consistent message. And, you know, you look at the organization, anytime you can have some stability, I think it's a good thing. I mean, I think back to, you know, the Mike Munchak, Ken Wisenhunt, you know, Mike Reinfeld, Rustin Webster type era of Titans days. I mean, it was a mess. And there was a lot of reasons for that. Some of it was those guys. Some of it was ownership. I mean, there's a lot of things that were a mess with this franchise. And we talked about the other day, Amy Adams Strunk has come in and really stabilized things. Stable is good. You know, it's at some point, you know, the NFL, nobody is, you know, fireproof in the NFL. At some point, John Robinson's not going to be the general manager of the Titans, and Mike Vrabel's not going to be the head coach of the Titans. That could be 10 years from now. That could be, you know, 2 years from now. It could be 15 years from now. I have no idea when that's going to come. At some point it is, though. But just take a look at some of the good organizations in this league. Stability is normally a big part of it. So if I'm a Titans fan, I'm excited that you finally reached the point where stability is pretty much expected with this group at this point, because that was not the case a decade ago.
No, exactly. Again, like, I don't know how much like Steelers fans, I guess we can ask Michelle, you know, celebrate like when you have a terrible luck year and you still find a way to like limp into the playoffs. I mean the Steelers want to win Super Bowls, right? And that's what all fan bases want. So maybe Steelers fans right now are more frustrated, you know, because it's been a long time since they won it all, and that, you know, they've had some great teams that just didn't get it done not too long ago. But to me, like, that's what you want. Like, if you're another franchise looking at that, or another fan base looking at that, I mean, compare that. Yeah, of course you want what the Patriots had too. You know, you want the greatest dynasty and the greatest quarterback, but like, to be realistic, you know, you want to be what the Steelers are. You don't want to be what, say, like the Cowboys are, even though they have really good teams right now, but like, they've just kind of been this dysfunctional clown show, really, for, you know, for a long time, with very little postseason success, despite the fact that they're like they're the darling franchise of the league in terms of attention. But, you know, like, you want to be what the Steelers are. And again, with the Steelers, it goes so far back, and it's about ownership and how the place is run. And then that's how you then have, you know, what, three coaches in the last 50 years or whatever it is. And that's just outrageous. I don't think, you know, I mean, I guess I'll be surprised like 10 years from now if we're talking about Robinson and Vrabel here, and that could be for various reasons, but I'm not ruling it out. Like, I'm not ruling out, you know, another long stretch here with both. And that's typically a good thing for a NFL franchise.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What's your reaction to the contract extensions for both Mike Vrabel and John Robinson? We'll get to some of that coming up on the other side. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56, and we can't wait for the Rams to take on the Bengals. And to celebrate, new customers can bet $5 to win $280 on either team to win when you use promo code ROB when registering. To get your Super Bowl odds boost, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, deposit at least $10, and pick your team. I've been riding high on the Bengals all week long, but you take it any way you want to take it, regardless of who you pick. There's no better place to bet Super Bowl 56 than on FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got same-game parlays where you combine small bets for bigger wins, tons of Super Bowl props, and much, much more. So don't miss your chance to turn $5 into $280. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code ROB to make every moment more of the Super Bowl. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bonus of $280. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I feel like Michelle is really branching out a little bit with her music selection.
I am,
Joe,
guys.
Rex Rhodes' influence on her musical life cannot be overstated. Rex Rhodes' music knows no bounds. Country, 90s rap, doesn't matter what it is. Rex Rhodes got you covered.
What was that we were just listening to?
This Town Gets Around. I don't really know, to be honest. I've just been trying to expand the horizons, listen to a bunch of the different songs in the folders.
I like
you it. Know? That one was like a nice little jam.
Yeah.
I liked it. What artist, Rob?
I have no
idea.
I don't
know who that was.
Okay.
Sounded like Dolly.
I don't think it was Dolly.
I don't think it was Dolly. But
okay.
So well, the file doesn't say the artist there?
No, it doesn't. But I could probably look it up if you want me to, Joe. So you can add it to your playlist.
You don't sound enthused by looking it up. I will look it up, okay? This town gets around.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, okay. It's song by Margot Price.
Of course.
Margot Price and the Price Tags.
There you go.
You know, do you know this artist, Robbie?
Could not tell you.
Me too, okay. Rob.
Could not tell you who that is.
Me too, Rob. Joe, do you?
I don't, but I mean, I love Margot Price and the Price Tags is a great name. That's
pretty good.
That's legit. I like that.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text again says, stability and extensions are great when you got a coach and a GM that already got you a ring. Otherwise, they better get one sooner rather than later, or those contracts will end early. This is coming from Ben on the text line.
Yeah, well, look, it's about trying to win one. I'm trying to think of that makes me think of like what are the longest, like what would be some of the longest tenures of either job, you know, that didn't get a ring. You know, I mean, plenty of GMs, probably more GMs than coaches. I mean, look at Trent Baalke. That guy just keeps rolling in Jacksonville. I think GMs, I'm sure the average, I would think the average lifespan would be quite a bit more for a GM than a coach, right?
I would say so.
I mean, most GMs probably at least get to hire a couple or, you know, on average. I'm trying to think what would be like for a coaching tenure, long-term coaching tenure with success, with stability, considered a good coaching tenure that did not include a Super Bowl win. Now, you could look at, you know, if you're a Dolphins fan, Don Shula is one of the greatest coaches of all time. Now he, you know, went for a long time after winning that with the perfect team in 72, got to some more, but never won another one. So there's, but again, he had the ring back when, so that doesn't count.
Well, Jeff Fisher was here forever.
Jeff Fisher has got to be one of the primary ones, right? I mean, Jeff Fisher's got to be one of the, but Jeff Fisher got to a Super Bowl. So to me, I mean, that run, don't you think that ultimately, I mean, that extended the life of the tenure, right?
Sure.
I mean, I would think like that run, even though they didn't win it, he got there. Is there anyone who's had this a long tenure considered successful, winning but didn't even get to the Super Bowl?
I'm gonna have to really rack my brain for that one.
Yeah, I'll think on that a little bit.
I will.
But yeah, look, I mean, at some point, I mean, I agree. But so here's the question. So let's say, you know, let's say the Titans. I mean, look, I look at the AFC right now, and they could be right there next year. They, a lot of things would have to go their way. And the number one thing that would have to go their way is that their quarterback gets back to how he was playing and then does it in the postseason. But let's say that, you know, that they don't get, you know, they win the division. Maybe they win a playoff game, like in the wild card round, they lose in the division round, whatever it is. And they kind of go through this without totally falling off the table. And they're still a solid team the next few years, playoff caliber contender for the division. You know, like, is there a point there where Amy Adams Strunk would start to get impatient and say, okay, you got to take to the next level? You could look, if you're a Titans fan who has that mindset right now, you can say, guys, 4 years ago, you fired Mike Mularkey. And you said it's, you know, because you're trying to bring a championship to the state of Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like it's an eternal clock on everything. But like at this moment, at this moment, even coming off that loss to the Bengals, I don't understand how a Titans fan would not approve of those extensions.
What about Marvin Lewis? Marvin Lewis was around for a while in Cincinnati. Obviously, he did not get to the Super Bowl.
That is a good call. Marvin Lewis, and, you know, of course, you can look at this team right now and you can feel a little bit of, you know, Dalton Tannehill
vibes. Yes, you can.
Right? I mean, you can definitely get the Ryan D. Dalton Hill vibes. But yeah, Marvin Lewis is a good call, you know. Consistency, you know, he was an 8-8 guy, and then but then he won the division. Here and there he had a bad team. He had a 4-11-1 team, he had a 4-12 team, but for the most part, you know, 9-7, 10-6, 11-5, 10-5-1, 12-4. Really good teams. Couldn't win a playoff game.
Liam on the text line says, these extensions are richly deserved, and anyone who says otherwise is just being whiny about how the way the season ended. We were in a dark, dark place as a franchise, and we are finally back to being contenders. This is coming from Liam on the text line. I feel like most people feel the same way that Liam does. Most people.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say 90-plus percent, right? It's got to be.
I'd say so. Yeah.
But for the small percentage you don't, we encourage you all to fight amongst yourselves. You know, but it's just, look, I mean, I think it's totally fair to say, okay, can you get to the next level? That's the hard thing to do. That's obviously been the quest, especially since, you know, they were ahead of schedule a couple of years ago with that run, but that's how runs go too. I mean, the Bengals are playing this week, and the Bengals, if you tell me the Bengals won't win their division next year, I'm not going to be shocked, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I think the Bengals, I would have to think there's more runs in that team with their quarterback, but they sort of did find lightning in a bottle here. And frankly, the Titans helped them. I think the Chiefs helped them, but they made the run. That's what matters. They're in the Super Bowl. And, you know, if you tell me the Titans, you know, are going to have a huge downturn in a couple years, which is possible.
Sure.
Well, then everything gets revisited. You know, can so I look at Floyd Reese and his tenure and Jeff Fisher. You know, they had done enough during their glory run, right? To I think that it seems to me from outside looking in, but like they were going to be okay through the downturn and to get another chance, right? To find the next quarterback. And they did. That's not the case everywhere. Have these guys done enough, if it starts to go the other way now, to survive a downturn? And okay, here, I mean, you can make the case. They haven't been able to draft a quarterback yet.
Yeah.
Do they not? Have they not earned the right to draft that quarterback high in the draft when their team is bad?
I don't know.
I would guess that they will get that chance, even if it starts to go the wrong direction here in the next, you know, 2-3 years.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Doug, who wants to weigh in. Doug, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, Ace. Hey, about your coaches that never won the Super Bowl, how about Bum Phillips or Don Coryell? They were both pretty good back in the day.
Yeah, good absolutely. Call. Appreciate the call, Doug. Yeah, that's really good. I mean, we had somebody on the text line say, what about Jason Garrett? He stuck around in Dallas for a long time, which, you know, especially considering Jerry Jones' patience level, the Jason Garrett thing is kind of a miracle. He was around that long.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. But those two are both great calls.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't come up with Eric Coryell and my man, Dan Fouts. But yeah, he was there for a long time. They had really good teams. You know, actually, the Bengals. I still say if they play the Bengals in any kind of reasonable weather, they're in that Super Bowl, not the Bengals. I must be just a Bengals hater, and I just never really realized. I love the Bengals. I played the Bengals in Super Tecmo Bowl more than any other team, for the record. But, yeah, Bum Phillips, that's an example of great teams, a heck of a coach, and they just – it was the freaking steel curtain. I mean, that's all it was. Like, those teams – they had some Super Bowl caliber teams, except that they were playing the Steelers in the playoffs every time, and that's just not going to get it done against those ridiculous Steelers teams.
We got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We will do that coming up on the other side. I've got a bit of an intervention I need to have with Predators fans coming up on the other side as well. We'll do that next. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's as a neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game. Jasper's is located on West End Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area. Plus, they offer free parking. Yep, free parking on West End. We know what a big deal that is. And offer specials for Preds games days, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottled domestics as well. So come on down to Jasper's for the next game day for happy hour every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and 2-for-1 beers all day long on Sundays. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. .1025 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Daytona 500 presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Be listening during the 8 a.m. hour today for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday, February the 20th, and access to the Fan Zone as well. Winner will be announced coming up on Friday in the 5 o'clock hour with Stillman & Company. Be sure to catch the Daytona 500 on 1025 The Game, Nashville's official home for NASCAR. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We'll have Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic coming up at 7 o'clock. She covers the L.A. Rams Super Bowl coming up in L.A. Early start for Jordan this morning, too. We're looking forward to that coming up at 7 o'clock. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, Joe's scenario is exactly what I was saying yesterday. You stay competitive. This coming from Heidi from Dixon. Joe Rexroad, have you come around to Team Heidi and on this side of the argument?
Well, except Heidi, except I guess the difference is, it sounded to me like you were more like, just stay okay, pretty good, and you know, you're happy. And I don't agree with that. I mean, again, like, I know that the go for it moves haven't worked out, but if I'm a Titans fan, I still appreciate the effort and the intent behind those moves, right? I mean, you could have, I mean, you know, look, you could be in better shape long term had you not done some of those things, certainly like the Julio Jones move, for example. And obviously right now it's easy to Monday morning quarterback that and say, oh man, if only you hadn't. And if you hadn't gone after Clowney or whatever. But in the moment, like, those are the kind of moves that as a fan, I want my GM to make when you have a team that's appropriate to make them for. And it was, it has been. So I guess my argument is just, you know, if you're doing things just to be like, okay, we're going to be pretty good, you know, this is going to keep us pretty good. That's not what I'm looking for as a fan.
No, like, there needs to be, the goal is to win a championship. And I understand sometimes you exercise that and it doesn't work out for you. And then you go into a downturn. So I get it. Those things happen. And when you get to the downturn and the championship's not a part of it, a lot of times that can be hard to swallow. I understand that. But if you're telling me that, hey, the Titans are content with being, you know, 10-7 for the next 5 years and not really being any dangerous team in the playoffs, okay, thanks. I'll go through the rebuild at that point to try to get back to the point to where you are dangerous and where you are competing for a Super Bowl. So I know some people view that differently. Obviously, Heidi views that differently. I don't have much time for that if I'm a Titans fan of, yeah, we'll just be decent for a while. We're not going to be good enough to win the championship, but we'll be decent for a while. I can't do that. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, I feel like I need to have an intervention with a portion of the Predators fan base. I put this out there on Twitter the other day, and we're just kind of talking about, you know, the deadline and, you know, some options that the Predators could have in terms of who they could pick up. And we'll get into more, you know, of a deeper trade deadline discussion as the trade deadline gets closer and, you know, some options start to be a little bit more clear as to what they could be, not only for who is on the table and who's available and all those sorts of things, but also what the Predators should do. We'll get to more of that coming up. Look, I want to preface what I'm about to say by I'm not saying that the Predators need to mortgage all of their future on this team because this team is going to go win it all. I'm not saying that. But there was this idea that was pretty prevalent the other day on some of the reaction from the Preds fan base, and it was this team doesn't have a chance to win a championship, so don't add anything at the deadline. You just sit there and you either sell Forsberg if he doesn't sign, or you do nothing at the deadline and just ride with what they have. Look, if David Poile decides that when trade deadline time comes around, there's not a deal out there that he likes, he wants to sit there, he likes the makeup of this team, and he does nothing, it's going to be difficult for me to argue against that. I don't really have a problem with that. But my intervention is, how many times do we have to see this tournament? How many times do we have to see teams go on runs in the playoffs before we realize that really in this league, all it's about is getting in, and then you've given yourself a chance? Because this idea that this Predators team has no chance to win in the playoffs, to me, is absurd. I think it's just absolutely absurd. And, you know, look, could they get bounced in the first round? Yes, they could. I think that's, you know, depending on who the matchup is, that's somewhat likely that they could get bounced in the first round if they're taking on the Colorado of the world. But you're telling me, as you look around the Western Conference right now and watch other teams play, that this Predators team doesn't have a chance to win a single first-round series? They don't have a chance to make a playoff run? Which, that's what some people were telling me the other day on Twitter. I just don't buy into that. Your goaltender is the best goalie in the world right now. Your defense has been really good, and all your top players are producing. So, look, I'm not saying that the Predators are Stanley Cup favorites. I'm not saying I expect them to go on some deep playoff run, because I still don't know that my expectations are there with this team. Obviously, they're much better than I thought they were, and they're much better than most people thought they were. But to sit here in this tournament, when we just watched an average, at best, Montreal Canadiens team make it to the Stanley Cup final last year, and tell me that this Predators team doesn't have a chance to make a run in the playoffs, I think that's absurd. And if you're a Predators fan that feels that way, I understand it. I can't tell you how to feel. But the idea that the Predators should just sit there and not do anything at the deadline because they have no chance is ridiculous to me.
Well said. Yeah, it's and I hear, I also hear from fan sort of the, I've heard this sentiment, which is like, you know, too many people get lured in by the idea of, oh, anybody can win in the tournament. But I mean, go through it, you know, go through the years. You've had champs that came out of nowhere. Obviously, you know, the Kings come to mind. You know, you get the ridiculously hot goaltender. You know, the Blues of a couple years ago. I mean, look at where they were. You know, third of the way through the season, and then how that turned out with an interim coach. You know, and then there's a lot of teams, of course, that have gotten there that have lost in the final. And so I guess you could say, well, most of those teams don't end up winning it.
Oh, a little sneeze break for Rex Road.
And I muted perfectly, by the
way. You did.
But it's just, it is. It's a different tournament. I mean, it can happen in the NFL too. You know, one game, certainly. Yeah, that's the thing. Like a seven-game series is supposed to, you know, is supposed to eliminate the wild upset, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly does in the NBA, but it doesn't in this sport. And I have to agree. Like, you just can't. Like, to me, if you're on the fringe and you're just trying to barely scrape into the playoffs, and there's just like on a nightly basis when you play top teams in the league, there's just a clear gap, then that's different. Okay,
sure.
And I think a couple recent Predators teams, you could say that about. Like, this team just isn't. It doesn't have it. You can see that. But I don't know how you watch this particular team. If you put this, I think the problem for some people is that this team is coming off the heels of that little stretch where it looked like the Preds window was closed. Yeah. That's the thing. The Preds are a really interesting case in terms of this discussion with the Titans, because we thought we knew what the window was, and here it is. And now it's closed, and look at them decline and blow everything up. But now it's like somehow they've figured out how to reform and reboot it with still that core together, and be something different, because they are different. I mean, you have to look at this team on its own. Forget the last few. And I think if you objectively look at this team, you have to consider it one of the best teams in the Western Conference. And if that's the case, you can't tell me that there's no way. I mean, they just beat the Avs. I know it's a regular season game, but I think their style of play and their goaltender make it all possible.
Well, and again, I'm not saying that David Poile needs to take an all-in approach to this deadline, because he doesn't. Like, I think, you know, selling the farm to go after it with this group is probably not the way to go if you're David Poile and the Predators. But the idea that you just shouldn't even look around because you have no chance to win, to me, is just absurd. And look, I get it. I think a lot of this Predators fan base right now is gun shy in terms of making deals, because some of them haven't worked out at the deadline, or signing long-term contracts like Philip Forsberg because some of them haven't worked out. Again, I understand why you would be gun shy there. That also, if you ever want to actually compete for a Stanley Cup, that can't be the way you operate. Sometimes you're gonna take a swing for it and you're gonna fall flat on your face. And we saw that happen with this Predators team. And now they're kind of back into a reset mode here. I'm not saying that right now is the time to take another swing again. Just, they have the third best points percentage in the Western Conference right now. How can you tell me that a team with the third best points percentage in the West doesn't have a chance to win the playoffs? It's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. And again, I think it really is. It's the recent past, right? And it's still kind of the mindset of the window has already closed, but it's just a different team. I mean, tell me, I don't remember. What did the Blues do? You know, in the 2019 trade deadline, did they do anything? Because the Blues, to me, I think there are some parallels. I think that they had intangibles, right, going big time. They played a heavy game, and of course, they got out of this world goaltending from a guy who wasn't actually that good, but he was that good then.
Yeah.
I don't think they did much, right? Like, to me,
they made their moves the summer before. They got Ryan O'Reilly and they got Tyler Bozak and those guys, and came in the summer before. And then, really, I mean, the difference with them was they couldn't get a save in the first half of the season. And then Binnington came in and played out of his mind. That was the difference.
And went nuts, right? But again, so that did that for them. So look at your goaltender. I mean, just look at your goaltender. Just start there. If it's, you know, if you have a goaltender like this, then you cannot discount anything. But I think the trade deadline discussion is also, like, they do have a special kind of chemistry going, and you don't want to mess with it too much. Whereas, like, in that 19, that same deadline, it was all about someone's got to give them a net front presence, right? I mean, some years there's this glaring hole, and I don't think there is this year.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Bob, hang with us. We'll get to you coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are talking Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in on the Preds. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning. I've seen reports that the Predators are looking at a defenseman who plays for the Dallas Stars. I think his name is Klingberg. I'm not positive, but I was wondering if you guys know anything about him, and also if you think that they might try to get a better backup goaltender than Riddick, and I'll listen off air.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. Yes, I mean, Klingberg is an unrestricted free agent. He's not come to a deal yet with the Stars. He's a really good player. You know, I think the price for him at the deadline, you're going to probably get into a bidding war. And a lot of this is going to depend on the Stars too, right? I mean, the Stars are still, you know, technically in the mix here and in the race. If they falter, then I think it's pretty likely they sell on Klingberg at the deadline. I don't know if the Predators will get that deep into that race. Like, I can't see the Predators giving up a first-round pick to go get John Klingberg when he's going to be an unrestricted free agent. I could be wrong. I'd be surprised by that.
I'd be shocked by that.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, you know, if you can shore things up there and add some more depth for sure. I get that. Or I get a move, as you brought up yesterday, which I love, you know, the boy Cali back in town type That's right. thing. You know, a little bit of an upgrade, but I don't see like a big buy for this team. I don't think that's happening.
The way that I think the only way I could see them making a big buy was if there's term left on the deal. Like, I don't see them going out and getting some big rental player with no term left and giving up a first round pick in order to do it. I just think that would go against a lot of what David Poile has done over the course of the last couple of years. As far as the backup goalie is concerned, I'm not going to rule out the idea of maybe them trading for, you know, a backup goalie. My guess is, though, if they were to make a change there, it would probably be to just bring Connor Ingram up because he is playing lights out right now for Milwaukee. So my guess is if you're going to see a change at backup goalie, it's probably going to be because Connor Ingram is lighting it up in Milwaukee. That's just my guess.
And maybe it needs to be.
Yeah.
Before long. I mean, don't forget the track he was on, you know, before he had his health stuff last year and everything. So there's a lot of promise with him.
Yep. Let's go back to the 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland, who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, buddy. Man, I feel like when you look at players like Simmons and you look at Brian Boyle, all these people that they're like, oh, we got to have them. Man, that's like, it's like the 99 Honda. You know, everybody's going to talk about the good gas mileage, but they don't want to talk about the lights that keep flashing on and off and everything they had to do just to make it, you know, presentable to even show you. So I don't like the idea of bringing anybody in. If it's not broke, which this team is, just like Joe just said, surprisingly, you thought they were going to rebuild and they never really did, but they're back to being really competitive. I wouldn't mess with it, man. Like, if you want to get Forsberg money, whatever, do it, but I wouldn't look at trying to find another piece right here. It's kind of the way I felt when they were in the bubble and we had all the B-team players carry us to the bubble and then all our starters come back and we instantly lose. So I'm like, just leave it alone. Leave it where it's at.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. And again, you know, I don't want, you know, people to misconstrue what I mean by the rant I went on last segment. Like, I'm not saying that the Predators should absolutely be buyers at the deadline and they should go out and just start adding pieces to their team. I'm not saying that. I'm just like, if the trade deadline comes and goes and they don't do anything and they keep it together with this group, I'm not going to argue too much with that. I think that's a fine approach if you're David Poile. What I am saying is, if you're not being aggressive and if you're not even taking a look at things at the deadline because you think you don't have a chance to win, like, I don't know how you could feel that way based on this league and this tournament and this team. Look, there are worse teams. And go look back through the last 20 years in the NHL. There are way worse teams than this version of the Predators team that have gone on significant playoff runs. So I don't buy into that stuff for a second.
Yeah, and you go back to that 2019, that 18-19 season was, you know, that was the first year where it started to go the wrong way. And it's funny because I Boyle, Simmons, I mean, Poile at that time was like, my gosh, basically like this team is – soft and not very physical, right?
Well, they got Granlund the same day, and Granlund didn't do anything that year.
That too, right? Yeah, but it was so much about, man, all this team does is shoot from the outside, and it never, you know, it didn't have the jam. It didn't have the jam that this team does, to borrow Correct. A Peter Laviolette term.
Yeah, yeah. Usually add a few more words in front of jam, and then you could really borrow the Peter Laviolette term there, but. We can't do that on the radio. Yeah, we can't do that on the radio. Let's go back to the text line. Got a texture that says, if Forsberg hasn't re-signed by the deadline, do you trade him? And what do you want to get if you do? I keep going back and forth with Predators fans on Twitter about this. I understand the idea of if he's not signed, you don't want to lose him for nothing. Believe me, I understand it. I was here. I lived it with Ryan Suter. I saw it. I saw the writing on the wall. Saw it coming. So I understand not wanting to go through that experience again. Also, like, if the Predators come trade deadline time have the third best points percentage in the West, I don't think you can trade it. Like, how do you look at the rest of the locker room and be like, hey, guys, I know you guys are really good, and I know that you guys have had a great season, and we're looking forward to the playoffs here, but I just traded your best player. Sorry. We'll see you later. Like, again, unless Forsberg looks you directly in the face, which I don't think he's going to do, and says, hey, it doesn't really matter what you do. I'm not signing. I'm going to market. Then maybe we're having a different discussion. But I don't think Forsberg's going to do that.
Yeah, that would be the only – and that'd be really interesting, because even if that were the case, even if Forsberg said, look, I just want you to know, David, I'm looking elsewhere, and that's just how it's probably going to be, okay? I'm sorry. You still have to look at this team and John Hines and say, sorry, guys, you might have a run in you, but I'm taking it away. Now, I think you can justify that move because you don't want him to walk away for nothing. But the problem is you're not going to get that conversation. So you're going to have to be guessing. I would think that it's an educated guess, though, yes. And maybe more educated based on, Poyle told Darren Donick and Chase last week, right, that they're trying to ramp things up. You're probably going to have a pretty good feel for where they are, how far apart they are, and all that stuff by the time they get to the deadline. And, if they don't have a deal made by then.
Well, it's go time in terms of discussions. Like, we've made a big deal about, not getting a contract signed to that point. It's go time right now in terms of Forsberg's side of things, Poyle's side of things, sitting down and trying to come to a deal. Because, look, I get it. It doesn't necessarily mean if he's not signed by the deadline that he won't sign here. But if I'm David Poyle and the Predators, I'd really like to get him signed before trade deadline time. I don't think there's any question about it. Jeremy on the text line says, trade with Seattle and bring back Yarncroak. He's a UFA at the end of the year and would probably be inclined to re-sign than any other winger you'd get in a trade. We have discussed the Yarncroak element of it. That'd be something.
Jeremy, are you ripping off Robbie's ideas now?
It's okay, Jeremy. We love you here on Robbie and Rex Road.
If it's actually your original idea, then I give you credit.
When we come
if
back,
if it's not, I give you credit for having the guts to come out here and just pretend like it's your idea.
Yeah, me too. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic. She covers the LA Rams as they take on the Bengals in the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.